Chapter 14. With dim blue lighting and the sweet taint of Rekka smoke in the air, Telker Station Cantina was the kind of place where smart customers kept their backs to as many walls as possible. Its only ceiling was a disorganized web of ventilation ducts suspended in the murk above, and there was a half-concealed entrance somewhere along every one of its eight walls. The patrons were clustered in groups of three and four, sitting around corroded steel tables and openly studying Han and his companions.
"What are we waiting for?"
Nashta demanded from behind Han.
"I'm thirsty."
"Just being sure," Han said.
The cantina's clients were exclusively human and near-human, with no droids, and roughly balanced between handsome men with scroungy three-day beards and beautiful Hapan women dressed to look tough but available. C-3PO and the Nogri were back in the Falcon, so Han thought he and his two female companions would fit right in, unless someone recognized him or Leia from an old Holonews broadcast.
"I can't believe Hapan security wouldn't cover this place."
"They will, but there won't be many."
Nashta pushed past Han and started toward the bar.
"If they cause us any trouble, we'll kill them."
"Yeah, that's a great plan," Han retorted. "We wouldn't want to cause a scene or anything."
But Nashta was already halfway to the bar, no doubt far more aware of the gazes furtively following her progress than she let on. Having rebuffed Leia's suggestion that they all wear disguises, claiming her contact would not show up unless both she and the Solos were easily recognizable, she now seemed determined to draw the entire station's attention.
"I don't like it," Han said to Leia. "She's testing us."
"Clearly,"
Leia said.
"But she's our only lead. What are we going to do?"
"How about not going along?"
Han took Leia's arm and turned toward the grimy access corridor.
"We'll head back to the Falcon and let her come to us."
Leia pulled him back into the cantina entrance.
And take the chance that she'd just disappear?
She freed herself from his grasp.
"We can't. Too much depends on her."
Leia started after their companion. Han cursed under his breath, then reluctantly followed the pair toward the bar. The cantina was almost certainly being watched by Hapan security, and Nashta was deliberately exposing the Solos to see what happened. If someone tried to kill or capture them, she would probably accept their story and let them fly her the rest of the way to her employers. On the other hand, if nothing happened, or if the capture efforts appeared insincere, she would either slip away quietly or try to kill them herself. Han was betting on kill. At the bar, an aproned bartender with a cleft chin and dark eyes came over to take their orders. Han was immediately suspicious of the fellow's athletic build and clean-shaven face. But if he was a Hapan agent, he was a well-prepared one. He fixed Leia's fog blaster and even Nashta's red cloud without having to consult the datapad behind the bar for a drink recipe. He placed the two drinks on the counter, along with a geyser ale for Han, then said,
"30 credits. 30 credits,
Han objected.
"I see why they call this a pirate station."
The bartender merely pointed at Nashta's red cloud.
"Blood ain't cheap."
"Blood?"
Han made a sour face, but removed a pair of credit chips from his pocket and laid them on the counter.
"At that price, I hope it's yours."
They took a seat in the nearest corner at a rust-stained table that looked as if it hadn't been wiped down in a month. Leia refused to set her glass down, and even Han refrained from resting his elbows on the surface. If Nashta noticed the filth, she didn't show it, simply dropping onto the bench opposite the Solos with her back against the wall, then resting one arm along the table. Han took a sip of geyser and frowned at how flat it was.
"I hope we don't have to wait long." He glanced around the cantina casually, trying to decide whether Nashta's contact was the guy in the new utilities or that classy-looking brunette in the Syntex vest. I can't bring myself to drink two of these. It was brewed back when Ta Chum was Queen Mother. Nashta shrugged.
It may take a while. You are unexpected companions, so my contact will be careful.
She took a long sip of her red cloud, then raised it toward Han.
But you can always try one of these. They're fresh.
Han made a sour face. No thanks. I'd rather drink water.
From here? Leia glanced at the filthy table. Don't you dare.
They sat for a time, waiting for a contact that probably did not exist to approach. Han and Leia only sipped at their drinks. Han, because his geyser barely tasted like ale, and Leia because she hated fog blasters and only ordered them when she wanted to nurse a drink without having to think about it. But Nashta drank more steadily, draining half her glass within the first quarter hour. After another couple of minutes, she leaned across the table to Leia.
"Someone is watching you."
"Yes, I have that feeling, too," Leia said.
"Probably a Hapen surveillance team," Han said wryly. "Maybe we should get out of here before the backup arrives."
Nashta shook her head.
"He doesn't look Hapen, and you may know him. He's trying very hard to keep out of your sight line."
Han turned toward Leia, straddling the bench as though he were going to face her, and sneaking a glance toward the corner where Nashta was looking. He glimpsed a square-shouldered man with a thick beard and a mop of dark hair hanging in his eyes. The fellow quickly turned toward the wall to hide his face, but failed to change his upright posture, or the military precision of his movements.
"You know, something does look kind of familiar about him," Han said. "He's trying to hide it, but that guy is a soldier, and I have this crazy feeling we do know him."
"We should," Leia said. She was still looking across the table toward Nashta, but Han could tell by her unfocused gaze that her concentration was on the Force.
"I think he almost married our daughter."
"What?"
Han spoke loudly enough that, despite the raucous buzz of scrack music, he drew glances from several nearby tables. He lowered his voice and leaned closer to Leia.
"Come on. You can't be telling me that's who I think you mean."
"I don't understand either," Leia said. "But his presence feels very familiar." "You know him?"
Nashta asked.
"Then we must go say hello."
Before Han could stop her, Nashta rose and started across the cantina, weaving just enough to suggest it was not an act.
"Uh-oh," Leia said. "This looks like trouble."
The Solos rose and started after her. Han was surprised at Nashta's condition. Whatever else she was clearly a top-notch assassin. And top-notch assassins did not let themselves get intoxicated on a job, and probably not many other times either. They arrived at the bearded man's table, just as Nashta sat on the bench opposite him.
"Me why you are following my friends," she was saying, "and your death will be a painless one."
"You'll have to forgive our friend," Leia said, sliding onto the bench on the bearded man's side of the table.
"I'm afraid she doesn't hold her spirits very well."
"Yeah, she'll probably miss."
Han slid onto the bench next to Nashta, positioning himself close enough that she would have to push him out of the way before she could reach the blaster in her thigh holster.
"At least the first time." "Then let's hope it doesn't come to that."
The bearded man reluctantly looked away from the wall. Though the hair hanging over his brow concealed the crooked scar running up his forehead, there was no mistaking the steely green eyes.
"Because I never miss the first time." Nashta tensed, but Han slapped a hand on her thigh, blocking access to her holster, and smiled across the table.
Jagged fell.
He was genuinely pleased.
Glad to see we didn't kill you after all.
Leia frowned.
What Han means to say is we're happy to see you well. We inquired about you many times, but Aristic Reform Bee kept claiming your status was a military secret.
Because I had yet to be recovered.
Fell's voice was polite but reserved.
After you shot me down, I was marooned for 2 years.
2 years?
Leia touched his forearm, drawing a flinch visible even across the table. She quickly withdrew her hand.
Jagged, I am sorry. Before we departed to Noop, Aristic Reform Bee led us to believe your recovery was imminent.
Tanoop can be a very dangerous planet, as you know, he said. The recovery team vanished, and the decision was made to risk no more lives on behalf of one pilot. Sorry, kid. That was a tough break, Han said. So how did you get out of the jungle? My family hired a private rescue company, and one of their search parties met a...
Fell stopped, picking his words carefully.
They met an unfortunate end. I repaired one of their comm sets, and when the next party arrived looking for them, I was able to make contact.
Telker Station is a long way from the unknown regions,
Nashta said suspiciously.
What are you doing here?
Looking for the Solos, of course, Fell said.
Han raised his brow.
Kid, if this is about Jaina... It isn't, Fell said,
a little too forcefully.
Jaina has caused the Fell family enough problems for one lifetime.
All right, Han said, wincing inside at the sharpness of Fell's voice. He had always kind of liked Fell, and there had been a time when he would have gladly welcomed him as a son-in-law, except for the part about dragging Jaina off to live in the Chiss Ascendancy.
I was just saying that if... I'm here because of Alima Rar,
Fell said, cutting him off.
Alima?
Leia furrowed her brow.
I don't understand. She's dead.
No more than I am, Fell said.
Han looked over at Leia.
You said some kind of spider sloth ate her.
I said I was fairly sure,
Leia corrected. She looked back to Fell.
It had half her body in its mouth. I can't imagine she escaped, much less survived.
I assure you she did both, Fell said. The creature...
He let his sentence trail off when the bartender suddenly appeared, carrying the drinks Han, Leia, and Nashta had left on their first table.
One table at a time, the bartender said.
He banged the drinks down and turned to Fell.
You drinking or leaving?
Fell's eyes went to the mug of ale sitting in front of Han.
I'll have one of those.
The bartender grunted an acknowledgement and departed. Han eyed the glasses. His drink and Leia's were still about 3/4 full, but Nashta had emptied almost all of hers.
That bartender seems pretty determined to see us finish our drinks. I wouldn't indulge him if I were you, Fell said.
Nashta narrowed her eyes.
Why?
Because drinking can be bad for your health, Han said, resisting the urge to look around.
He was pretty sure now that the bartender was part of a Hapen security team, and he wanted to hear the rest of Fell's story before the fighting started.
Didn't anyone ever tell you that?
Nashta turned to glare at the bartender, but said nothing. Fell pretended not to notice and shifted his gaze back to Leia.
I was preparing to tell you about Alima, he said. She killed the creature before it had a chance to eat her.
You found its carcass?
Leia asked. Fel shook his head.
Bodies decompose too fast in the jungle.
He reached inside his jacket, causing Nashta to reach for her thigh holster again.
Whoa there,
Han said, managing to clasp the assassin's arm before she could draw the blaster. Nashta squinted at him in disbelief.
How'd you do that?
Old smuggling trick, Han said casually.
Something was definitely wrong with their drinks. He had seen how fast Nashta was, and he should never have been able to stop her.
Not on his best day 30 years earlier. Jag isn't going to hurt anyone here. He just wants to show us something.
Nashta squinted across the table, but she pulled her hand away from her holster.
Don't try anything stupid.
You have nothing to fear from me, I assure you, Fel said.
Once it was clear she would not be trying to blast him, he pulled a coil of braided hide strips from inside his jacket. He held it in front of Leia.
You know what this is, I assume.
Leia nodded.
A Twi'lek memory cord. A long one.
Correct. I found it on Tanoop shortly after I discovered the bodies of the commercial search party I mentioned.
He laid it on the table.
But their vessel was missing, and I followed the tracks of a lame female back to a cave where she had been living.
And that's where you found this?
Leia asked. Fel nodded.
My family had it researched. The first part seems to recount how she saved herself by cutting the spider sloth's throat from the inside. It bit down, just as you described, but the creature was already dying, and didn't do as much damage as you led Aristic Reformby to believe.
Her lightsaber was activated when the creature took her, Leia said. I just didn't think she'd kill the thing quickly enough to survive.
She nearly didn't, Fel said.
He pointed to the next set of knots.
These describe her wounds and recovery. Her arm and 6 ribs were fractured, and she had several deep wounds in her abdomen and back. Fortunately for her, and unfortunately for us, when the Killix evacuated after the battle, they left thousands of stragglers behind. She was able to summon a small group to care for her.
Wait a minute, Han said.
He was doing his best to keep an unobtrusive eye on the rest of the cantina, and so far the Hapen security team seemed willing to wait for them to finish their drinks and pass out.
Are you saying the Killix are still there?
I doubt it, Fel said. They were castaways, just as I was. I had regular, encounters with them during the first year, but they were always from different nests, and by the second year they were beginning to disappear. I think they lived out their lives and died.
That makes sense. Killix have short lifespans, Leia said. But a year would have been enough to nurse Alima back to health.
Indeed. She records each of their deaths in detail.
Fel paused, then indicated a set of knots that seemed to repeat themselves every 4 or 5 centimeters.
But these knots are the reason I'm here. They appear to be a recurring list of injuries received at your hands, and the knots between appear to be lists of possible retaliations.
What are you getting at? Han demanded. Are you saying that crazy trollop is coming after Leia?
I'm telling you what I found in her cave, Fel replied evenly. What you make of it is your business.
Leia's eyes flashed a warning at Han, then she turned back to Fel.
Thank you for telling me, Jagged. After what happened on Tanoop, I know it couldn't have been easy for you.
Easy doesn't matter.
Fel's gaze grew distant, and perhaps a little hard.
You warned me to eject, and I had a debt to repay. Now I have.
I see.
Leia's expression turned sad. "So now you'll be heading back to the Ascendancy?"
Fel shook his head. "No. I'll be watching you."
Han would have asked why, except that was when the bartender returned. He set Fel's ale on the table, then frowned at Nashta, who was slumped in the corner with the same unfocused gaze that Leia often assumed when she entered a force trance.
"Is Baldi all right?" he asked. "I don't want nobody dying in here."
"She's fine."
Han slurred his words deliberately, but he truly was feeling a little warm and drowsy.
"Just forgets to close her eyes."
The bartender scowled in suspicion. Han thought he might have overdone it, but Fel made a point of lifting his own mug to his lips and taking a small sip.
"Excellent."
He smacked his lips with exaggerated pleasure, then set his mug on the table and wiped the froth away with his sleeve.
"Very thirst-quenching."
Han frowned.
"Really? You don't think it's a little flat?"
"Not at all."
Fel's eyes flicked away nervously.
"But when it comes to ale, my tastes aren't very refined."
"That must be it."
Han raised his own mug to his lips and took another small sip, then nodded.
"Yeah, the more you drink, the better it tastes."
The bartender grunted and returned to his bar. Once he was gone, Han turned back to Fel.
"So why are you watching us?"
"Because we're bait," Leia surmised. Her face was a bit flushed, but she seemed alert enough to finish the conversation and run. She turned to Fel. "Your assignment is to hunt down Alima and make sure she can't restart the Dark Nest, isn't it?"
"That's my intention, yes," Fel said, "but not my assignment. I'm no longer with the Ascendancy military."
Han frowned.
"If you're not on assignment, what are you doing here?"
"I have nothing to hide."
Fel pretended to take another long drink from his mug.
"I'm in exile."
"Exile?" Leia asked. "Why?"
"As you know, I guaranteed Lobaka's parole at Koribu. When he participated in the attack on Supply Depot Thrago, my family became liable for the damage he inflicted on the Ascendancy from that point on."
A look of sorrow suddenly came over Leia's face, and Han's stomach began to feel a bit hollow. It hadn't been him who tricked Lobaka and the others into attacking Supply Depot Thrago, but it had been his son Jason.
"As I'm sure you know, Wookiees can do a lot of damage," Fel continued. "Especially Jedi Wookiees. When my family couldn't cover the expenses, I was forced to leave the Ascendancy."
Leia's chin dropped. "Jagged, I'm sorry. If there's anything we can do..."
"There isn't," Fel said, a little sharply. "There's nothing any Jedi or Solo can do that would change the decree of the ruling families."
"I know things look bad now, but give it some time," Leia said. "After you find Alima, I'm sure the Ascendancy will reconsider..."
"Then you don't know the Ascendancy," Fel snapped. "Finding Alima will redeem my family's honor and give it the means to rebuild its fortune, but my situation will remain the same. If ever I return to the Ascendancy, my entire family will be dishonored."
"Well, whatever we can do."
Han didn't like the tone Fel was taking with Leia, but the kid did have a pretty good reason to be angry.
"Use us as bait all you want. Everyone else does."
He cast a meaningful glance over at Nashta, who was still slumped against the wall staring off into space.
"I am using you as bait."
Fel pushed his mug to the table center and started to rise.
"And now, if you'll excuse me..."
"Not so fast."
Han took a quick glance around and was dismayed to notice half a dozen pairs of eyes turned in their direction.
There's one thing about your story that bothers me.
Jag did not return to his seat.
That's really not my problem, Captain Solo.
For old time's sake, Leia said.
She grabbed Fel behind the elbow and, using the force, pulled him down onto the bench.
I think Han is saying that your account doesn't add up.
Yeah, Han said. That's exactly what I'm saying. There's no way you found us on your own.
Actually, it wasn't difficult at all, Fel said. The Hollow News is filled with stories about your defection to Corellia.
This isn't Corellia, Han said.
True, but I happened to see a communique from Admiral Boitu.
Fel glanced nervously around the cantina, then continued.
He was convinced that Corellia's next move would be an attempt to persuade Hapes to enter the war on her side.
You're lying, Han said, with more hope than conviction.
Despite his fury over Gedgen using them to set up the assassination attempt on Tenel Ka, his heart remained with Corellia, and it alarmed him to think that the Galactic Alliance was good enough to predict Gedgen's desperate ploy.
Nobody sees that kind of communique.
There are plenty of officers in the Galactic Alliance who value honor as highly as the Chiss, Fel said. Is it too much to believe that one of them would assist me with the hunt for Alim Arar, especially since it was the Alliance who asserted that she was dead?
He's got a point, Leia said to Han, and I don't feel like he's lying.
Han understood what she was saying, that she could sense through the Force that Fel was telling the truth, but he remained suspicious.
It's still a long way from that message to Telker Station.
Not as long as you think, Captain Solo, Fel said. You two have known the Queen Mother since she was a child. Who else was Corellia going to send?
Which gets you halfway here, Leia pointed out. But nothing you've said explains how you went from Hapes to Telker Station.
That was the simplest part of all.
Fel glanced across the cantina.
I followed him.
Han followed Fel's gaze to the bartender, who was pretending to wipe down the counter, but watching them.
Of course, Leia said quietly. Hapen Security.
Fel nodded.
His team departed the Fountain Palace a few hours after your attack on the Queen Mother.
That right?
It irked Han to let Fel believe he and Leia had actually tried to kill Tenel Ka. Clearly, the kid had already come to the conclusion that none of the Solos had any honor. But Han could hardly set the record straight with Nashta sitting beside him.
And you just happened to slap your homing beacon on their ship?
Not really.
Fel rose to his feet again.
I picked his team because I heard a hangar tech say it was going to the vilest den of corruption and degeneracy in consortium space. Naturally, I knew you would show up sooner or later.
You might want to be careful how you put that next time.
Han was getting tired of Fel's bitter exile act, but he had to admit the kid's logic was pretty good. Telker Station was exactly the kind of place where an outlaw ship hanging around this part of the consortium would eventually put in for supplies.
But thanks for warning us about the drinks.
You're welcome, though I suspect you were expecting trouble.
Fel's gaze slid over to Nashta, who was now sitting up and blinking.
Now you'll have to excuse me. This fight really won't be any of my concern.
Fel started toward the exit, leaving Han and his companions to locate the security team. It was hardly difficult. They were the ones trying too hard to mind their own business, appearing more interested in their drinks or conversation than in what was happening around them. Han quickly counted a standard surveillance team of 6 agents, including the bartender. They were scattered around the cantina near the exits, with a clear line of sight to the Solos, and well-positioned to cut off any escape attempt. It took longer to locate the team leader. Han was expecting a woman to be in charge, and initially paid no attention to the scrawny fellow seated alone at the end of the bar. But the second time he looked, the man was studying their half-filled glasses and muttering into his drink. "We just ran out of time." As Han spoke, he was swinging his legs out from beneath the table and dropping his hand toward his blaster holster. If he wanted to convince Nashta that he and Leia were for real without a lot of bloodshed, he had to act now. "I think they're mad because we don't like the drinks." The leader looked away and muttered into his drink more urgently. Han flipped the power setting on his blaster to stun, then drew and fired twice without standing. The first bolt only grazed the leader's abdomen, melting a dark line across the front of his tunic and causing him to hunch over in pain. The second caught him full in the flank, knocking him to the floor in a convulsing mass. In the instant of stunned silence that followed, Han thought his plan might succeed, that he and Leia and Nashta might actually disappear into the station's tangled corridors before the surveillance team recovered from its shock. Then he stood. His knees went weak, and his head began to spin, and he had to brace himself on the table. "Han?" Pulling her lightsaber from beneath her robe as she moved, Leia rose and started to reach for him, then had to put a hand down to catch herself.
"Whoa! Strong stuff."
"Yeah," Han said. The security team was already recovering from its shock and drawing weapons. "Really hits you."
"Renatil, a bounty hunter favorite," explained Nashta.
Suddenly she seemed alert and ready to fight, clearly a result of the force trance she had entered.
"You don't notice it until you try to stand. Then you fall flat on your face."
"Thanks for the warning," Han griped, starting to feel even more queasy and dizzy. Half the security team, 2 tall, burly men and a stony-eyed woman with high cheeks and thin brows, were already bringing blaster pistols to bear and shouting orders to surrender. Leia's lightsaber came to life with a sharp snap hiss, but Nashta showed no sign of rising to go with the Solos. Han frowned at her.
"You coming?"
"Not yet."
She drew a long-barreled blaster from her thigh holster.
"I hate being drugged."
"Then you'd better come with us now," Han said.
He stepped in front of her, extending a hand as though to help, but actually trying to block her line of fire.
"If you think this is bad, wait until the Hapen interrogators..."
Nashta raised her blaster and squeezed the trigger, sending a bolt of blue heat screeling past Han's ear. He cried out in astonishment, then turned and saw the bartender tumbling away behind the bar, a T-21 repeating blaster flying from his hands and a wisp of smoke rising between his eyes. Han dropped his head.
"I really wish you hadn't done that. Now things are going to get..."
Before he could finish, the cantina broke into an uproar of shouting voices and screaming weapons. Leia's lightsaber growled as she brought her blade around to defend.
"Han!" she yelled. "A little help?"
Han whirled around to find Leia frantically batting aside full-power blaster bolts, doing her best to avoid hurting anyone by directing the attacks up into the web of ducts that served as the cantina ceiling. But the Renatil was having its effect on her, slowing her reflexes enough that some bolts ricocheted off a wall or the floor instead, and a couple even slipped through and went screaming past Han's head. Keeping his own blaster set to stun, Han began to return fire, concentrating on a trio of agents between them and the exit. He dropped one, and Leia started toward the exit, staggering and weaving. Blaster bolts began to pour in from behind. Han spun around to lay covering fire,
but the cantina slipped into a Renatil-laced spin, and he could see nothing but whirling blurs of color. He pointed his blaster into the stream of blue bolts and held the trigger down, then cried out in shock as something hot slammed into his shoulder. Han was on the floor before he knew he was falling, his nostrils burning with the smell of scorched flesh, one side of his body throbbing in searing pain. To his surprise, he was still holding his blaster pistol, pouring fire toward a pair of amorphous forms that were fast taking the shape of charging security agents.
"Han?" Leia cried. "Are you—" "He'll be fine," Nashta called.
Finally deciding to help out, she slipped off the bench and knelt at Han's side. She fired twice, and both agents went down with scorch holes in their faces.
"Perhaps I believe your story after all."
"Too late," Han groaned. "If we get out of here, you're on your own."
"Oh, you're angry?"
Nashta patted him on the cheek, then turned to face Leia's direction.
"How cute."
She fired a dozen times, and suddenly the only sound in the cantina was the drone of Leia's lightsaber. Han rolled to his knees, nearly passing out from the pain and the Renatil, and spun around. Leia was standing 2 meters ahead, holding her lightsaber at her side and staring at the motionless bodies of several Hapen security agents. When it grew obvious they were all dead, Leia deactivated her lightsaber and knelt beside Han.
"How bad I'll live. We've got other things to worry about."
Han shifted his eyes toward Nashta, who was still kneeling on the floor beside him.
"That was just a surveillance team." But
Han winced in pain as Leia pulled him to his feet.
"They had to have called for backup the minute they identified us," she said, finishing his sentence. "You're right. We have to get out of here." "Before we meet my contact?"
Nashta asked.
"What contact?" Han demanded. "You were just testing us."
But Nashta was already staggering toward the back of the cantina, clearly feeling the effects of the Renatil even more than the Solos. Though most of the bystanders were evacuating as quickly as possible, a classy-looking brunette in a red Syntex vest was standing just inside the rear exit, her eyes darting around nervously as Nashta approached. Han's shoulder was killing him, but he was beginning to think this might have been more than a test after all.
"What do you think?" he asked Leia.
"I think we passed," Leia said. "Are you up to this?"
"For Tenel Ka, I'm up to anything."
Han led the way after Nashta, grimacing inside as he and Leia stepped around wounded bystanders and motionless security agents. He was sickened by the thought of so many people getting killed just because Nashta was too lazy to adjust the power setting on her blaster. But the stakes were too high to let his feelings show. The lives of Tenel Ka and her daughter depended on finding out who was behind the coup, and so did the stability of the Hapes Consortium. By the time Han and Leia arrived, Nashta was already talking to the woman.
"Come alone?"
she was asking.
"That was the agreement."
The woman eyed the Solos and frowned.
"For both of us." "Those agents just proved that the Solos are on your side,"
Nashta said, waving a hand at the dead Hapens.
"And I needed a ride. Your assassination plan was a setup." "That's impossible," the woman retorted. "If you think the Council is going to accept the blame for your failure—"
Nashta placed a hand over the woman's mouth, then slammed her against a durasteel wall and leaned in close.
"It is not a matter of what the Council will accept, Lady Morwan."
Nashta's voice was cold and menacing.
"It is a matter of what I am going to do."
The woman's eyes slid toward Leia as though seeking help.
"She's right, Lady Morwan," Leia said. "They were waiting for us. Someone on your council is a spy."
Morwan's eyes widened in alarm, and Han had to force himself not to smile. They had learned a lot about the coup already, but Leia had done something even more important. She had started to sow suspicion and discord within the organization itself. After a moment, Morwan nodded, and Nashta removed her hand.
"What are you going to do?" Morwan asked. "Spy or no spy, the Council has paid you a Hutt's treasure. They expect you to earn your fee." "I will, my way."
Morwan considered this for a moment, then said,
"Very well, but the Council wants you to attend to the Chumda first." "The child?"
Nashta frowned.
"What about the Queen Mother?"
"After," Morwan said.
"We will always be able to find the Queen Mother. But now that we have made our intentions clear, the Chumda will be sent into hiding."
Nashta did not even hesitate.
"I'll require another fee."
"Of course, once you have eliminated the Chumda," Morwan said. "Your first fee will be payment for that." Nashta considered this, then nodded.
"Agreed."
She stepped back and smoothed Morwan's vest.
"What kind of vessel did you come in?"
"A Batog skiff." Morwan lowered her brow, clearly confused.
"Your instructions said to come in something small and anonymous. And you did well,"
Nashta said.
"Give me the security code."
Morwan frowned.
"The security code? I need transport."
Nashta glanced at Han.
"The Falcon is not very anonymous, even with the false transponder codes. But how will I? You are not my problem."
Nashta jabbed her thumb into Morwan's larynx.
"The code!
Elephon!" Morwan gasped.
"That's the hatch code."
Nashta eased the pressure on Morwan's throat.
"And the pilot's code?"
"Remila." Nashta smiled.
"Was that so hard?"
She lowered her hand and turned to Han and Leia.
"I trust we won't meet again. I suspect it would be more pleasant for me than you."
"That's it?" Han asked. "You're just going?"
Nashta thought for a moment, then raised her brow as though remembering something.
"Ah, the problem with your son."
She pulled a data chip from her utility belt and passed it to Han.
"Contact instructions. Leave a message when you're ready."
She started through the exit, then stopped and looked back, smiling.
"I hope you will contact me. I'm looking forward to working with you on that."
"Not going to happen," Leia said, snatching the chip from Han. "Jason is our son."
"And Tenel Ka was your friend,"
Nashta countered.
"Yet here you are."
She disappeared out the exit, leaving Han and Leia to stand there fuming. Han caught Leia's eye, then glanced after Nashta, silently asking if they should try to take the assassin out now. Leia gave a quick shake of her head. With him already injured, Han knew their odds were poor. Besides, there was a good chance that Tenel Ka and her security team, not to mention the Star Destroyers, would stop Nashta on their own. What they would not be able to do, however, was find out who was on Morwan's mysterious council. Leia slipped a hand under Han's arm.
"Come on, Flyboy. We'd better get you back to the Falcon and take a look at that blaster burn."
She turned him toward the opposite side of the cantina and started away, then suddenly stopped and looked back over her shoulder as though she had just remembered something.
"Forgive my rudeness, Lady Morwan. Can we give you a lift somewhere?"
"Please." Morwan started after them,
not even attempting to hide her relief.
"I was afraid you'd never ask."